Romans 5, verse 14. I want to read a verse and take you on a little journey here. Now, I go to all kinds of churches. I've been in 33 countries now, Russia by protest. And some stand and some do not. And I do not. I mean, I don't ever ask for it. So if you do, you do. And I'll just go right on with life. Amen? Someone said, now I'm not trying to be funny, but someone said, well, you know, we'll stand for the honor of the word. And I said, the word will be honored whether we stand or not. You know, however, it's a good thing, and I'm not opposed to it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 14 says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is to come. Our Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Show us something perhaps maybe we didn't understand, or show it to us better, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted you to notice that little phrase there. I'm going to take you on a little journey, and we'll try to get done by when? 3 o'clock? Then we start preaching the morning service, right? So a quarter till, I'm probably safe. I got 30 minutes, right? Close to it. But you're not helping me one bit. Here's what I do at home and other places. I ask questions, I get answers, and then I say, see there, now don't you feel better that you're a part of a committee? I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do, but it makes you feel better that you're a part of the decision-making, though you really aren't. But it makes you feel good, right? It's going to be a long Sunday morning, isn't it? One nice thing about this, when I'm done, you're going to say, Brother Springer, please hurry back. Notice this little phrase down at the bottom there, verse 14. Adam, that's what we're talking about, right, in that verse. Adam, who is the figure of him that was to come. You ever think that Adam is a figure and a type of Jesus Christ? We hardly ever, nobody ever says that. We always hear Adam the bad guy, and he was in the sense they usually say so. But honestly, the Bible says that Adam is a figure of him that is to come. So let's talk about that. Let's see where that plays in. Genesis chapter 1, and if I had a long time, if I was preaching evening service or something, and I had as long as I thought the people would let me take, which is sometimes a presumption. So I won't read all the verses all the way that I might with them. But notice in verse 26 and 27, it says, let me get to the right place. It says, and God said, let us make a man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the sea and over the fish, fowl, the air, and the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Chapter 2 and verse 7 says, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, if you took all of mankind, and here's the first Adam, and out of that is a little piece of string. This is DNA. This is what science, the same scientist that says evolution is true is are the same scientists that says all DNA, all man, the DNA goes back to one original. Isn't it amazing? You'd thought out of this oozy stuff, there'd have been a man come there, and another man come here, and another man come here. But science, the same science that says evolution, is the ones that also say that all humanity came from one DNA source. So if you pull this out, all the way down to 2013, every human is traced all the way back to this original source, Adam. So if something gets wrong up yonder, it's going to be wrong down yonder. So the Bible says in Romans 5:12, so then sin passed down upon all men. And so it's pretty simple to understand that, or it seemed to me like it's simple anyway. So we have verses, I'm not going to read all these, but verses 15 through 25 and 31 through, or chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. All this is about Adam and about his progeniture and having children and on and on and on. What was the purpose and focus of Jesus Christ? And I think that'll help us to understand something. Luke, and I'm not going to read these verses because I'm going to go into this other thing in a minute, but Luke 19:10, most of you know, and if you don't, I'm going to tell you. It says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So the ultimate purpose of Jesus Christ is to save me and you. That's the ultimate All the things that he did is what had to happen to make that happen. Ultimately, because God loved me and you. And that's a deep, hard to understand truth, as far as I'm concerned. Matthew 13, it says, and I'm not going to read this either, but Matthew 13, 44 through 46 talks about he was looking for a treasure and he went out and bought the whole field to find a treasure. God loves me and you. And it was worth all that that he did to save me. Now, I'll make a point on this in a little bit, but I want you to understand. And so in Old Testament Israel, Psalm 135, verse 4, the Bible says that he doted upon her. Now, you can read the verse if you want to, but technically she is his peculiar treasure. In the New Testament, it talks about in Titus 2 and verse 14 that we are his peculiar treasure. God loves me and you. And he did all that to save us. What a blessing. What a God. What a God. What a God. Now, let's take the story of Adam and Eve and their fall and see where Jesus figures as a figure into that story. She fell. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 3. And when you read down from verse 1 down to verse 6, she fell. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Now, God had said, you know, it's interesting, folks, that Pharaoh would have never known that Pharaoh hated God until God put something out there that said no. All of a sudden, God said to Pharaoh, no more Israel to you, I want Israel. And all of a sudden, when God said no, Pharaoh, we learned that inside Pharaoh there was this, not on your life. But until there was a no in front of him, he didn't know that. And it's the same thing was true with Adam and Eve. God said, hey, you can have everything, go for it, except this one thing, no. So the devil comes along and says, hath God said that you can't eat everything? And she says, no, he didn't say that. He just said that one thing. And same thing in your life. If you're not saved, there's something there. If you are saved, before you got saved, it may seem silly now looking back, but when you were lost and you were coming up on the day of your salvation, whatever it was that God had put in your life and said no, it was a big issue. You struggled, you kicked, you fought, you grappled, you complained, you moaned, you bellyached, you did everything, and you weren't going to obey. God had no right to do that, and that was a big deal. Why? Because God put one little thing, no. No more smoking, no more drinking, no more running around, no more. You just do the math for yourself. But somewhere in your life, there was a no, and your conscience tried to argue around it, and you tried to find support from other sources that it really wasn't that bad, whatever, 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 whatever. But it was a nasty no. You never knew you felt that way about God and His requirements in life until He put something no in front of you. And that's what we have in the garden. No. The devil came along and said, hey, it's not that bad. Two deaths, but he hid one. And he said, you won't really die. But they did. And he lied to them, just like he does to you and I still today and all the rest of that. So she fell. Now, 1 John 3, 4. I'm going to walk through some verses probably really quickly, if you can follow with me. Some of them I may quote to you. But 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 says this. And I'm better getting 1 John instead of 1 Peter. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 somewhere. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Eve fell, right? You all know the story enough? Or no? We don't need to read this, do you? Well, we got to go back on kindergarten. We don't have to do the kindergarten. I'm looking around at the Sunday school crowd. This is not good. I can see that already. Okay, let's assume we have some basic knowledge of the Bible. Sometimes you don't assume things. All right, so the Bible says transgression is sin, is transgressing the law. And Eve did that, right? James chapter 4 and verse 12. James 4 and verse 12 says there's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy, who art thou that judges? All right, now one lawgiver. Who has the right to make the rules? God does. He has the right to make the rules. So he made the rules. Genesis chapter 3. Now I'm leading our thinking. I don't feel like I'm being very successful. I'm trying my best. Genesis 3 verse 2 and 3 says, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Now, there's a lot of emphasis put on the fact that she said, added the touch and all that stuff. But the issue was, she knew there was a no out there in that garden. And she violated it. And that's a story in itself of seeing and looking and desiring, the steps that you go through. It comes up with Achan, comes up with her, comes up about seven times in the Bible, those same steps. Now, verse 7, I want you to notice, verse 7, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they had sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Of all the other things in that verse, this is what I want you to notice. Connection, the connection between them and God was broke. Whatever else is involved, whatever preaching sermons you can preach out of that, the connection was broken. Now that will have some real impact on our thinking here in just a minute. Romans 5 and verse number 10, we find an ultimate between me and the Lord and you and the Lord. Romans 5 and verse number 10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Reconcile means put back together. So Eve and Adam broke the law of God, broke the connection between them and the Lord, and ultimately, if they ever go to heaven, that connection must be put back together. So that's very simple, but it's very basic and very true. Right? Very true. Eve broke the connection to Adam. No, just a minute now. I want you to follow this. Let's stop. Have you ever, because I know you have. So now, we're watching this obviously nice, Christian, godly film, right? Okay, we're watching something. And we're going to put it on pause. Run out and get a health drink and come back, right? So we've got it on pause. Okay. Eve and the devil came to her, and she listened to him, and she saw, desired, took, and ate. And the Bible then says, and she got and gave it to Adam. Okay, now, she ate, pause. There's a period of time here between Eve broke the connection, and Adam had not. Adam was still connected. Eve was not connected to either God or Adam. True? So we've got to pause for a moment. Look at verse 6, 3, 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good food and that it was pleasant to the eyes of the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and pause. She gave it to her husband on and on, but pause. Now I want to slip me and you into that pause for a moment. What made, now didn't a minute think with me, I know this is heavy stuff for Sunday morning Sunday school. I'm not going to apologize. I'm just telling you, I understand it's heavy. What made Adam join his wife? You've never thought about it. What made Adam, Eve, ate and lost her connection with both Adam and with God, and Adam ended up, the whole story then now is about Adam, not about Eve. What made Adam join his wife in eating when he actually could have stayed separate? Now, I didn't write the Bible, but it says in our text, Adam is a figure of him that is to come. That's God's opinion about this story in some sense. Amen? All right. So 1 Timothy 2 and verse 14. I don't want to keep running back over to new and running back over all the time. But I'll just say but and leave it there. 2:14 says, and Adam was not deceived. This is what God's opinion way down the road. He says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now listen to me. It appears that when Eve was caught up with the devil, that she was deceived and beguiled, and she ate of the fruit, and she broke her connection with both her husband and with God. Okay, that's a given. But now on the other hand over here, Adam also, sooner or later, joined her, but he was not deceived. Adam had to have a reason for doing what he did. Why did he join his wife? It cursed me and still affects us. Why did he do that? Well, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12 says, and if I get in Genesis 3:12, it says, the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the fruit and I did eat. Well, that's just the facts. But there's got to be something in there between she gave to me and I still had a choice. She gave to me and I had a choice. His relationship with the Lord had not been broken yet. He knew full well that when he reached out, consequences that she might not have known being beguiled. A different responsibility, different relationship, different story. Now, I want you to go back to Genesis 2:23, and I want to do a little drama in your minds, imaginations. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23, and the Bible says Adam is out here and he's named all the animals and all the things like that, and him and God are partners, if you want to say that. And here he is naming everything. Verse 23, the Bible says, and Adam said, this now is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So Adam looks around, in verses prior to that, Adam looks around, and it's like, nothing for me. Now, none of you have probably been as lonely or as alone as Adam may have been. Everything seems to be in pairs, but for him. And verse 20, Adam gave names to the cattle, the fowls of the air, and every beast of the field, but for Adam, there was not found in help meat for him. And the Lord God gave him a deep sleep and created the woman. In verse 23, Adam says, yes! Woo! Glory to God. If you're married and don't feel something like that, you've got troubles already. Now, think about this now. Adam has looked at all the animals. There's nothing he has not looked at, named. He's fully aware of everything out there that lives and breathes. And there's nothing for him. And then there's me. And so Adam goes to sleep. The Lord brings him a woman, and it's his partner, a help meet for him. But now listen, there's only one. Only one. Only one. Which, by the way, should be true probably for us still today, but that's another story. Only one. Only one. And for some strange reason, this lady gets caught up with the devil, and she doesn't consult anybody. She makes a decision. She looks, she sees, she desires, she takes, she eats, and pause. Adam comes over here. She offers to him. He has to make a choice. What's Adam going to do? Well, there is no other woman. No, just a minute now. The Bible says he's a type of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the believers is the female side of the spiritual relationship in the age in which we're living. And Jesus is on the Adam side. And I, on this side, sinned and lost my connection to God and the husband. Now the husband is going to prove to me how much he loves me. When he has a choice to maintain the glory, as John 17 says, that he had before the world was. But when he looked at me, as Adam looked at her, and realized there was only one choice, he died to himself. He gave up all his glory, which he had before he joined her. And he was not deceived, the Bible said. He knew full well what he did, and so did Jesus Christ. But because he loved me beyond any human comprehension or even my own, he stepped across, took. Not only did he take, but he joined himself to her sin and took the reproof of being the one who did it. Because Adam is in the transgression, who is blamed for the sin, not Eve. And Jesus took my sin upon himself and bore it to the cross in his own name, not in my name. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God the Father, and he loves me and you. How much did Adam love his wife? We never hear a preacher talk about it. We've never heard a sermon on it. We've never even understood that side of this story, except the Bible says Adam, a figure of him that was to come. And we know that he is a figure because the Bible says so. And in that moment of pause, which the Bible doesn't even put in there, we have to put it in there ourselves. In that moment of pause, we stop a moment, look at other Bible verses in the relationship of Christ, and realize that Adam as a type had to love his wife, who was the only option for him. Life, now listen to me, life would not be life to me without my wife. And life would not be life for Jesus Christ without me. And how to comprehend that, I have absolutely no clue. I'm not even going to try. But somehow, I know from the facts. As Jesus said, if you don't know that I'm in the Father, know me for the very work's sake. I know God loves me for what he did. I don't know it because I can comprehend it or understand it or even try to. But I know that he loves me because of what he did. That I could never have done. I cannot understand. I don't need to understand, to be very honest with you, to be a recipient of all that love. But can you imagine Adam standing here as a testimony of what was to come through Jesus Christ toward me and you, standing there looking at his wife? I can imagine, if I wanted to do so, the tears openly running down his face, the choice of step back, which seems to be what he was supposed to do. All the preachers I've ever heard preach it condemns him because he didn't. How little they know. How few of them, if any, have ever stood in Adam's shoes at that point. How little do they ever know what went on in his heart when he looked around and saw there was no other, and life would not be life without her. He made the choice. He didn't just make the choice to join her. He picked up the responsibility. He claimed it as if he had done it. He turned and faced God, and he carried that responsibility just like Jesus carried it to the Father. He took my sin, which I could not take, and he bore it to the cross, which I could not do. He died, and he was buried, which I could not do. But, as Romans 1:4 said, he rose from the dead, which proved him to be the Messiah. And he went on. And I say, hallelujah, glory to God, and all the rest of that. Let's read another verse or two and add to this now that you know where the story is going. If Adam had not chosen to eat, Eve would have died, but he would not have died, and he would have an existence without her. If you just follow the logic of that story out, you'd see it's very true. John 3:16, for God, you will never know the intensity of that word, so, until you go back over here and stand as Adam stood looking at his wife, the only one for him, and he could have walked away from her or joined her, and the choice was his. You'll never know when the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he crossed the line to join her. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because God loves me and you. Do you know how much? It's easy to say, God loves you. How much? So much. For God so loved the world, he was willing to do that. Isaiah 43, verse 21. Isaiah 43. Now you've got the crux of it. I can preach now and close it at any place. The baloney's been laid out. We can just cut it off anywhere and it's okay. Amen? Because the story's been told. Isaiah 40-something or other? 45? I always do that because I want to know if you were listening. Isaiah 43, verse 21 says, the Lord is well pleased for his righteous sake. He will magnify the law. He will make it on... I'm in the wrong place. Let me get it right. The people I have formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. John 14 and verse 23. John 14. I'm stuttering because I'm skipping a few verses here. John 14 and verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Why did Jesus eat? Because he loved me and you. By the way, if you want to know how to, when you're doing a double, you and I, always turn it around and say, you first, he loved me. How would you say it if it was single? He loved me and you. Then you'll know how to say it. You don't have to say he loved. He loved me and you. Just a little English there. I hate to ruin a good Sunday with an English lesson. Like why double negatives are double negatives. No, we won't go there. Okay. And why you can't say, how are you doing today? I'm doing good. No, you're not. Good is an intrinsic value, and you're not intrinsically good. You and I are intrinsically evil. You can be well, fine, okay, and all that, but you can't be good. Only God is good. But you didn't come for an English lesson, right? That's just filler. And it ruined a good Sunday morning. Amen? Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Amen. As long as you leave that stuff out, okay. All right. Ephesians 5:27. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27. And we are told there that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. All verses, I got a whole list of verses, and all they really say is this, that Jesus Christ loved me and that he died to save me. And all this pondering and standing on this side over here, when Eve comes over here, the Bible just says she gave to him and he took. But we have to go out to other parts of the Bible where the Bible gives us clarity to show that it wasn't quite that easy or simple. There was more to it. There was something happened in Adam as he reached over a cross. And it gives us the feeling, as the Bible says, how do you know how much Jesus loved you? How much did Adam love Eve? Enough to join her, take her sin as his own. Now go to Romans 5:12. Let's wind ourselves down. Romans 5 and verse 4. The only words you'll ever remember in the whole time is let's wind down. Romans 5 and verse 12 says, therefore, as by one man, the Bible doesn't say by one woman. The Bible says by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed down upon all men, for all have sinned. To have Eve, Adam, join her disobedience. For Eve to have Adam join her disobedience, and therein condemned his own seed. Because when Adam took, the condemnation fell on him, his blood became contaminated with sin. And so death then passed down, like pulling this DNA out of here, death then passed down upon all men. And we were condemned because Adam loved Eve. And we're saved because Jesus loved me and you. And that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, the first Adam, the second Adam. It also says that in Romans 5, if you read it on down further there in verse 17, 18, 19, so on. There's Adam, and then there's Jesus Christ. The first Adam condemned me. The second Adam's love. The first Adam's love condemned me. The second Adam's love saved me. Praise the Lord for a God like that. So Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. Verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. To have his bride, Jesus Christ, joined her in flesh. And then he put on a body like hers, and then he absorbed her guilt as his own. You know, throughout the Bible, I don't know of any verse, and I've read it 60 sometimes, I don't know of any verse that really condemns Eve at all. It makes knowledge of the facts, but it doesn't condemn her. Condemnation's always on Adam. And the Bible never says anything about you and me when it comes to the cross. It talks about Jesus Christ took our sin. God laid our sins on Him. He took our sins to the tree. Nothing said about you and me, really. He became the ultimate sinner because He loved me and you. Our Father, thank You this morning for Your blessings. Thank You for the privilege we have to have a God like You. Bless the remainder of the services this day in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.